Let's take the word together now and turn to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, we're reading verses 1 through 21. Second Corinthians 12, Paul is still, even here, defending his apostleship. Let's hear now the word of the Lord. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Here, for this third time, I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But be that as it may, I did not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I took you in by deceit. Certainly I have not taken advantage of you through any of those whom I have sent to you, have I? I urged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with him. Titus did not take any advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit and walk in the same steps? All this time you've been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. I'm afraid that perhaps when I come I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of their impurity, immorality, and sensuality, which they have practiced. That is the word of the Lord. So Paul, again, still defending his apostleship. When we come to this chapter, he says that boasting is not profitable when boasting in self. That he himself has received, will continue to receive visions and revelations from the Lord. That is the word of the Lord to be communicated to the people of God. And only the apostles could receive such from the Holy Spirit worked in and through them. Now, Paul in this way shares experiences he has had of the grace of God to him because he is an apostle. He knows one who even was caught up to the third heaven, that being where the Lord eminently manifests His glory. Such a man like that, caught up into glory, Paul says he will boast him because he's been glorified. The Lord has glorified that man, but for himself, who is weak, why should he boast? If he does boast, should he be foolish in his boasting? No. But then Paul goes on to glorify the Lord through boasting in Him, the Lord, by boasting in his own weakness and the Lord's strength. There was given to him a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was, though many try to speculate. As some of you know, Paul doesn't say, though. Therefore, we don't need to know. God doesn't want us to know. Only that it was a thorn in the flesh. A struggle for him. And we only need to know that great struggle that he went through, bodily or by experience. It was a great trial for him. It showed to him his own weakness. And how did Paul respond but crying out to the Lord three times that it would depart from him? This is a showing that he was not boasting in self but relying upon the Lord. He went to the Lord in prayer. The false apostles were boasting in themselves and how great they were. But Paul boasts in his weakness, which was rather boasting in the Lord. You see that verses 9 and 10. He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. His boasting is a boasting in Christ. But then the rest of the chapter Paul devotes to rebuking the Corinthians. That the Corinthians should have acknowledged him just as all the other apostles. But they didn't, even though the signs of a true apostle were shown among them. Paul vows not to be a burden to them, but is greatly concerned that when he comes, he will see that great sin is still among them. He's concerned about that. And so here we are to take the apostles' words and turn from our sin, repenting of the impurities, the sensualities, relying upon the Lord, boasting surely not in ourselves who are weak, we could say weaker than Paul, but in the Lord who is strong. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, You are all-powerful, fully, completely, infinitely strong. And You are a God who we must boast in. A God who has given us Your very own Son because You loved us even before the foundation of the world. And He died on the cross. God dying on the cross for our sins, that we would be righteous and be without sin. Father, You ought to be boasted in. Your Son ought to be boasted in. Your Spirit, who is now present with us, complete, infinitely, unchangeably, holy, in us who still have remaining sin. For such things You ought to be boasted in. That we have the presence of God within us. Father, we thank You that You have suffered long with us. Us who are weak and our bodies perishing. And yet You've given the promise of eternal life in Your Son. If we would believe. And many here have believed the gospel and have been saved and have eternal life now. But there are still some who are far from you, who have not confessed and professed faith before your church. And for such souls, we plead that you would save them. That you would send your Spirit in them to do that great work that you've done in us. Cause them to know that what awaits them, if they do not turn to you, is complete weakness. The feeling of not being in your presence forever and ever, but rather cursed, lonely forever, pains forever. We know nobody wants to experience that. And yet we ask that you would do your sovereign work of opening up their ears as you have ours. And open up their hearts. Cause to be done that great work of regeneration. Making alive that which is dead. Making that stone flesh. The hardened heart soft. Cause them to be born again. That there would no longer be life lived after the lusts, pleasures of the flesh. Focusing on this world only. But a life lived for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. And that we pray for ourselves. That you would make our lives, lives lived for your glory, for the Son's glory. That wherever we would go, there would be praises of your Son being lifted up. Even before a watching world who does not know you. Father, let us not boast in ourselves, but all of our boasting be in the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, may this be true not only of those remaining here who don't know you, but even those in authority over us, our parents and family members, our governing authorities, our bosses, our leaders. Father, send your Spirit to them as well, that we may live peaceable lives for Christ Jesus. And yet we ask, as we see this world turning in our culture further and further from you, that you would strengthen us for the task that awaits us, which may be for suffering and persecution. May we be bold in our faith then, and not cower in fear of earthly punishment, knowing that our reward is great in heaven, and no one can take away life eternal from us. Cause it to be that it would be that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Hear our prayers, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.